What's up, everybody? Mike Caluzzi here with pro tips to help grow your business. I am a business coach, entrepreneur, and attorney who helps service-based professionals and business owners and entrepreneurs operate in a state of confidence to eliminate overwhelm and frustration in your business. You could catch me at mikecaluzzi.com, mikecaluzzi.com, or shoot me an email at mike@mikecaluzzi.com and request a free conference call with me. I'd be happy to spend some time to see how I may be able to help you grow your business and to eliminate that, those things that bring us back and keep us so frustrated, in making progress in our business. So I am so excited that I get to share my, this platform with other folks and other coaches and consultants and people from all around the world. And today I have a really interesting guest on. I think you're going to get a lot of value out of. Her name is Linda Baines. And Linda is an accomplished entrepreneur and an energy coach. She is a speaker. She's an author, and she helps fellow entrepreneurs and professionals to transform their energy levels, both professionally and personally, so that they can eliminate struggle and self-sabotage, okay? And be able to identify those things that they may not otherwise be able to identify without her assistance that are holding them back. So Linda has been at this for a super long time. She has a really, really interesting story, interesting background, which I'm sure we will get in today. And I'm really looking forward to learn more about Linda. So thank you for tuning in. And Linda, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Mike. My pleasure to be here.
So guys, before we go any further, too, it's really important, to you understand Linda is really can be found online and on social media. Her website is www.lindabinns, that's LIDABINNS.com. And you can find her on Facebook at Linda Binns Energy Expert, and as well on LinkedIn and Instagram at Linda Binns. And I will post those handles, obviously, below, as well as in the chat. So again, welcome to the show, Linda.
Thank you, Mike.
So Linda, what I, as we said, look, looking at your website and seeing that you really are an extremely empathetic person. And one of your things that seems like you really help people with, I think there's so many people who look for help, is those folks who are really, they're sensitive people, they're empathetic people. I know with myself, when I talk to folks about what it is that they want to do in their professional career, almost overwhelmingly, one of the first things they say is, well, I want to help people. Right. Yeah. And I have a way to kind of help them get more specific and intentional with that, because it is obviously a noble thing. But I think that there are so many people who are geared towards, it's hardwired in so many of us to want to help people and be empathetic. But as you know, in business, having that approach can sometimes lead to a swift kick to the teeth, right? For the people who are not really ready for it. So why don't we talk and start it off a little bit about, what drove you to kind of understand that this was your area of genius and how you, work to help folks in those areas?
Well, I first found out about the concept of the trait of high sensitivity, which applies to about 20% of the population, and the concept of being an empath, which is slightly different from having empathy. Being an empath is slightly different. I'll explain in a second. But I discovered this maybe 14 years ago. Now I've been in business for 25 years, so I'd already been working with a lot of people. But once I discovered this trait and I started to understand, it was for me, it was an epiphany, because it finally, for the first time ever, made sense of who I am and everything that's happened to me in my life and why I have always felt so different from everybody else. I have tried to be like everyone else, tried to force myself to fit in, if you like. And it also made sense of the fact that I understood that the majority of people who were drawn to work with me were also highly sensitive or empaths, and that's because I understand them. So to be highly sensitive, it means that there's a lot of research into this now, but it basically means that our brains and nervous systems are wired slightly differently. So think of, it's like going out there with being like having antennas all over the place, and you are picking up on so many things: energy, emotion, energy of an environment, energy of a person. If somebody's upset, you're picking up on that. Just all the subtleties that most people would miss, we see them, feel them, hear them, feel them in our bodies very intensely. And because of that, well, if you don't understand it, it can become very overwhelming and lead to burnout because you're just overwhelmed by it all. And then if you take it a step further with being an empath, that means that not only do you feel, you are aware of other people's emotions and pain and those kinds of things, but you can very easily, just like a sponge, absorb that and take it on until it feels like it's your own. And if you don't understand how to deal with that and to recognize when it's happening, again, that can just shut you down very, very quickly. So I think it's important, what I've learned through my 25 years of being in business, it's important for all of us to understand ourselves and understand our energy, what affects us and how to manage our energy. But for those who are highly sensitive and empaths, it's critical for us to understand that. Not only our own energy, but what impacts us and how it impacts us and how to manage all of that. So that's kind of my background and why I got to work with the people I do.
Well, that's interesting. So I guess for you going through that process, and like you said, you struggled for a while because you just felt that there was just this disconnect, with so many other folks. What would you say would be a good way for people to, you know, there's probably times where people would maybe list themselves or label themselves as, you know, an empath, or sometimes they're not able to identify it. So what would you say are some of the more objective signals or signs that people would be able to use as indicators so that they can maybe get a little clarity initially to say, okay, now I'm starting to understand how to collect the dots, or conversely, a situation where, you know, by using some of these objective standards, they say, okay, maybe I thought I was, but I don't seem to be checking off some of the boxes. So maybe there's something else brewing. Is that a fair question?
Well, probably one of the best ways, if you are highly sensitive, you've probably been told that by people throughout your life. Most of us have been, you know, heard the words, oh, you're just too sensitive, you know, get over it, what's wrong with you, kind of thing. You will have probably felt very different and very misunderstood. Maybe often felt invisible. It's like everybody's looking past you, you know, and you're sort of like, wait, what about me? I'm here, you know. But because you're so different, we experience things in a different way. I mean, nobody wants to be labeled sensitive, really, especially in a business setting. It's like the word sensitive has such a negative connotation to it. It's like, oh, that person's very fragile and very weak. In fact, just the opposite is true. Highly sensitive people have great strength, really, when they know how to tap into it. But mostly it's when you feel very different, when you feel you're being misunderstood, when you've been told repeatedly that there's something wrong with you. You should be like everybody else. You shouldn't be so sensitive. The way you're responding isn't right. You shouldn't be feeling what you're feeling. Whenever you get that sense from more than one person, then it would be worth exploring a little more depth. There's a wonderful book called The Highly Sensitive Person by Elaine Aron, who literally began the research into high sensitivity. And that's where most people discover. In fact, she has a questionnaire on her website that you can go and take that and see just how sensitive you are or are not. But you probably would have had some kind of sense of being different and being made to feel that there's probably something wrong with you.
And that was really my next question. Is this something that is more intuitive, hardwired, or is it more ones that their environmental conditions kind of direct them to become more sensitive? Is it a combination thereof? Obviously, I know there's probably permeations of each, but what would you say is kind of where some of the patterns that you've seen over the last 25 years?
Well, it is genetic, apparently. But what it means is that we're impacted by, and obviously there are different degrees. So I would classify myself as very highly sensitive. So that means I respond to just about everything. So let's take environment, for example. If there's sounds, I hear sounds, like if there was a truck backing up about a mile away, I'd probably hear that. And not only would I hear it, I would feel it. And, you know, so I can pick up on the sound, and I'll say to people, do you hear that? And people say, no, I don't hear that. I hear it. Or smell, I can smell like somebody smoking a cigarette a mile away. You know, those things are just, and it's not just a noticing, oh, somebody's smoking, or oh, I'm hearing that sound. I feel it physically. So the smoke, for example, can give me a headache and can make me feel nauseous. You know, the more sensitive you are, not all highly sensitive people will feel those things to that degree. They may be more sensitive to other things in particular. There's a lot of food sensitivities around now, for example. So we can be sensitive in different ways. It doesn't always mean that you're very emotional. The emotion will come up in me, for example, if there's something about somebody being in pain or something to do with an animal. If I see an animal on TV or on a movie, it doesn't matter what they're doing, usually tears will come just because I feel a great affinity with animals. And where we struggle though, is when you try to stop that, when you deny that that's how you're feeling, when you say, I shouldn't be feeling this, people are going to think there's something wrong with me, so I have to shut it off. And when you do that, you are denying really who you are. So I used to be very embarrassed about all those things. Now I'm not. So if I go to a conference, for example, it can be very overwhelming for me with crowds of people because there's all that energy, there's all that emotion. And I pick up on that. And usually I will get a really bad headache. But what I've learned to do now is I'll say to people, the people I'm with, just feeling a little overwhelmed right now. I'm going to take a 5-minute walk just around outside and I'll be right back. And they all say, oh yeah, that's fine. People understand it. But what I would have done in the past is I would have tried to force myself to stay there. And then by the time I left, I would be feeling really, really bad. And so just understanding those few things and then being able to help other people understand what's going on with you. You don't have to go into a big explanation, but just say, this is what it is. This is what I need. I'm just going to go and do that. And so it makes all the difference.
So that was going to lead into my next series of questions. Because number one, as far as working with entrepreneurial people or business folks, as you mentioned, there's obviously an endless amount of challenges that are associated in those particular roles. So in working with folks, say, for example, entrepreneurs and or business people, what types of advice do you give them with respect to things that they are pursuing as far as compatible or not compatible to folks who are, you know, more, you know, empathetic or empath type?
Well, it's very important. Highly sensitive people do particularly well, Elaine Aron says this in her book, as entrepreneurs in their own businesses, because then they have more control over their experiences if they allow themselves to do that. The danger is when you allow yourself getting pulled into the things you think you should do, what other people tell you you should do, comparing yourself to somebody else, trying to force yourself into something that is not really a fit for you. So the biggest mistake I think highly sensitive people particularly make is in losing touch with who they really are, what's right for them, in the pursuit of, okay, this person over here is very successful doing a similar business to me, so I must do it this way. I must do those things instead of what feels right for me, what works for me. And they often think that what they think is the problem is never usually the problem. Let me give you an example. A lot of people will come to me saying, I have a time management issue. I need to learn how to manage my time more effectively. And I know what to do and I'm just not doing it. I'm thinking of one lady in particular who came to me with that issue. Within about 5 minutes of talking to her, what I realized was that she had started as a part of a network marketing company. And she joined this company because she thought she had a lot of children and grandchildren. She wanted to be able to spend more time with her grandchildren. So she left her job, started this business because she thought it would give her more time. So the way they were telling her to promote and market her business, it was actually pulling her away from that. She was spending so much time doing things that didn't feel good to her, doing social media, for example, in a way that didn't feel great to her. And what we discovered was that it wasn't a time management issue. It was doing things that are not in alignment, a good fit for her issue. So we had the discussion then about what marketing activities had been successful. What could she do? Not just because the company told her she should do them, but what felt right to her. And would give her more time with her grandchildren. So once she started looking at it from that perspective, time management was not an issue at all, because then she was doing things she enjoyed and it was giving her more of what she wanted, which was time with her grandchildren. So it's a lot of it is identifying, listening to what is the real problem that's going on here, because they think it's this, but when we get behind it, it's actually not that. It's a loss of sense of self, if that makes sense.
Do you find that it's kind of parallel with the, I mean, I readily admit I am like I am a recovering people pleaser. I am a recovering, control freak, because there's a lot of the tendencies. I mean, I went to law school for gosh sake. So, after 4 years of working in a law firm, I was completely burnt out for a lot of the same reasons. I think I have probably demonstrated that I have a more of an empathy, I don't know if I'm labeling myself totally as an empath. I've never kind of made that leap entirely because I don't, but I felt from an empathetic standpoint, I seem to gravitate towards more of that type of behavior, more, really concerned emotionally about, the outcome and not just purely the money. And I can relate to, look, my wife and I, we built a network marketing business in a company called Isagenix. We were, very successful in that business. It was an amazing gift to us. But I know for me, I individually hit a wall because, to your point, there was expectations that were not truly in alignment, with who I was as a person. And, we set these objective criteria in front of us to achieve. But like you said, if they're not truly aligned with who we are, it's going to have an expiration. It's going to have an expiration period. That's what I work with a lot of times for people to understand, because even in that situation, and I don't want to dominate the conversation here, but even in that scenario, and I know from my own personal experience, the network marketing business in itself can be amazing for the right person.
Yes.
Right. But there's, I know, like, I coached and mentored hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people in that space, because it's a matter of how allowing them to understand that there's a whole new skill set that has to be learned to be effective in that space. And that skill set then also has to be aligned with your personality.
Yes.
Right. Because if you're forcing it, now there's certain people who could truly compartmentalize. They do their thing, and then they could, have a good balance, strike a balance. But for those who aren't, and particularly with respect to the level of rejection that is inherently tied into that industry, it can be a real challenge.
It can, and it leads people to believing then. And it's not just network marketing, it can be in any business that you start. You can start it for certain reasons, and then you can find yourself being pulled in so many other directions that you lose that sense of why you started the business in the first place. And again, it comes down to that losing yourself. You know, we do things very often because we think this is what we should do. When I first started my business, that's exactly what I did. I did all the things. I had no business experience. And people say, well, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do this. And so I would do all of those things, even if they didn't feel right to me, if they didn't feel good to me, I did them because I felt I had to do them. And whenever I did that, there was a price to pay for that. And it took me a long time to learn that. Really is about finding what is a fit for you and allowing yourself to, and sometimes that's different from what everybody else is telling you is right for you, allowing yourself to lean into that. But it's about being open and aware enough to figure that out and to allow yourself.
The upside of that is if you do it long enough and you have introspection and you are, you know, a person is diligent in their pursuit, you know, the reward of hitting that proverbial wall, so to speak, is okay, I've now learned, right? Because there, it is, you know, particularly again, like when a person transitions from a job to more entrepreneurial pursuits. I know for me, I work as a lawyer, and you know, that is a highly left brain oriented activity. And for those folks who seem to gravitate towards that or are conditioned to stay in that space, there's a lot of uncomfortability when they're dealing with a lot of the unknowns that are associated with entrepreneurship and that whole learning curve. It takes a long time, as you know. I mean, you've been in business 25 years, which is I highly commend you, because that is not easy. So how have you been able to I think, and again, we all are on the journey where I say, even if a person is helping others to eliminate or, you know, reduce possible problems that are associated with things that we work with, that doesn't also make us immune from experiencing those same things. We just had just learned the tools to mitigate it. And we're sometimes maybe just a few steps away from the folks that we're actually helping ourselves. But what's that journey been like for you? Because, you know, let's face it, even if you're understanding that, oh, wow, I really had complete clarity on where my highest and best use is, it's still going through that process. So how have you found that in your journey as far as handling those issues and getting beyond?
I would say
it's emotional roller coaster.
Yeah, well, it is an emotional roller coaster. I think, you know, starting your own business is the best business growth tool, personal growth tool that's out there, because any insecurities or fears or anxieties or anything that you have, they're going to come up and you have to face them and deal with them. I think it's really about being dedicated to my own personal growth as well as the growth of, you know, my clients. And I live this every day. I'm self-inquiry, paying attention to my energy. I had to learn how to do that. Now that's something that I teach. But it's, you know, and so when a difficult situation comes up, for example, or you encounter a difficult person, instead of making it about that situation or about that person, I always turn it around and say, what do I need to learn about myself from this? How did I create this? What do I, you know, what is it I need to know? And that willingness to not just allow yourself to tolerate things that are not a good fit for you, but constantly be asking yourself, what can I learn? What do I need to know here? And constantly being open to that growth. And growth is uncomfortable, as we know, but being willing to be uncomfortable and allowing yourself to move through that. So for me, it was all about learning that and learning the role of energy in that, because we all have a certain amount of energy. And for highly sensitive people in particular, because we're so overwhelmed by other things or so impacted by other things that we can become overwhelmed, you have to really be aware of your energy and know at any given moment when something has affected you in a way that doesn't feel good. And it's about staying connected to the joy in your life and the reason why you started your business in the first place. Now, my business over the years has evolved. And I'm a very different person now from when I started 25 years ago. My business looks very different. I'm right. continually learning and growing and looking at how to scale my business. How can I help more people and be more effective? So it's that constant willingness, I think, to learn and grow. Otherwise, you can just get consumed by your business, certainly, by right. life. Right. So that's what it's been for me.
That's interesting. So guys, I just want to just take a minute right now. Again, I'm speaking with Linda Binns. Linda is an accomplished energy coach, speaker, and author. She works with entrepreneurs and business people to help them identify those things that are really sabotaging their progress. And Linda's been has been at this for over 25 years now. So she's highly proficient and a professional as a business owner, as well as a coach. And as Linda just said, with all that collective experience comes a tremendous amount of wisdom that could be imparted on you. So you can find Linda at lindabinns.com, LindaBinns.com. And on Facebook at Linda Binns Energy Expert, and on social media, link handles like LinkedIn and Instagram, right at Linda Binns, LindaBinns. So Linda, where are you originally from?
From England originally, yeah.
And then tell us a little bit about how you found yourself now in Oregon.
Well, moved from England with my husband over to Missouri, St. Louis, Missouri. We were there for 12 years because of his job. And then we moved from there because of his job again, went to Idaho. And we were there for 6 years. And now we've been in Oregon for about 10, 11 years now. So
that's interesting.
Going west.
Well, that's cool. It's always great to see new parts of the country. You know, if you probably guessed it, I'm an Italian from the Northeast, New Jersey. So, you know, my wife and I recently moved to Sarasota, Florida, which is in the West Coast of Florida. And we're adapting to a different lifestyle. Much of it good, much of it of a talk about self-awareness. You start to see, okay, wow, I can kind of really see how we are different from our cultural, you know, backgrounds and things like that. So I'm sure coming from first England and then living in different parts of the country, that's, you've probably been afforded that same opportunity to see how things have evolved and different. I mean, I'm sure there's similarities and there's differences, right?
Yes. I still remember when we first moved to Missouri and, I can remember going into a store and asking for something and the person just staring at me. It was like I was speaking another language or I was from another planet. And I was thinking, I'm speaking English. I'm not sure how else I could say this, you know, but it was just that they had not heard. And people would always say, oh, say something to me. I love your accent. And, you know, as a natural introvert, those are not words I want to hear. Well, and that's another interesting thing is that, you know, I was a terrible introvert, really, really never, ever wanted to be the center of attention. And, you know, talk about personal growth. My personal growth journey through my business has forced me to get over that, really, and tap into the aspects of myself that are more extroverted. It's in there. And I think we all have combinations of both sides, but it's been quite a journey. And, you know, each move has been starting over right. and you learn a lot about yourself from doing that. Yeah.
And then I guess now, I mean, doing it for the past 25 years, do you see that there's any trends that are currently more, say, prevalent in your client base that you see that are happening due to our current situations in, you know, this country, in the world, and how things to be? I think universally, I think we all can agree, wherever you fall on the spectrum, that we are in a very tumultuous time of change. How's that shown up in your business and the clients that you serve?
Well, I think, you know, I always say self-awareness is the most important thing. We have to know ourselves. And I think there's more of a movement towards that. Many of the people who, you know, many people would rather look outside themselves for answers anytime than look within. And I think especially since the pandemic, you know, since we were forced into lockdown and we had to be with ourselves and there weren't the distractions out there, I think generally speaking, people have come to more of a realization of what's most important to them. And I think they're less willing to tolerate what's not a good fit for them. So I think they are looking for more self-awareness, more guidance into how to put their energy into the things that are a fit for them, how to find that and really focus on what's important and not allow themselves to be distracted by all the other things. I see more of a shift towards that.
Yeah, I like to call it purposeful intention.
Yes. Right?
We really have to. I talk to folks about that quite a bit. I have a client, you know, I'm very lucky. I get to work with people from different age groups. And like you, it seems that there's a certain type of personality, set of characteristics that I gravitate towards and who gravitate towards me. You know, I often talk to folks who, because if people who are really sensitive or empathetic or kind of more sensitive, you know, they have a tendency, and I may be wrong, but this is my own opinion, that, you know, they're in the business world, it's a little bit different in the sense that, like, and you're looking at things personally, there is a level of saying, okay, yeah, there's definitely room for everyone. There's room for exploration. There's room for discovery, but there also has to be, with respect to business, some real definite of purpose and a very clear value proposition.
Yeah.
Because there's, people are just inundated with so much information that it's extremely difficult to rise above the noise, number one. Number two, time marches on far, far faster than most of us realize. And then if there's not real purpose and clarity on where they want to move in the direction of their business, they wind up wasting precious time.
It's true. And you, once you do connect to that value proposition and you're really clear on that within yourself, then just, you know, when you're out there, when you speak about it, when you're talking, you will automatically resonate with the people who are a fit for you. It took me a long time to figure out who I was. What exactly do I do? You know, I knew I helped people, but it was like, well, what exactly is this? You know, how do I help people specifically so that I can say it in, you know, just a few words so that they can understand it. And so that the people who don't resonate with it won't pay attention, but the people who do transform your energy. Oh, okay. You know, they're curious. They want to know a little bit more, but you have to get clear on that within yourself. And that takes self-awareness.
Mm-hmm. And then what would you say would maybe be a good point for folks who are to help them spot situations where they are creating resistance internally, or they are and that resistance is showing up, whether it be in the form of procrastination, self-doubt, diversion to other things, anger, all those manifestations. What type of things could you say maybe can you help give a little people some insight as far as some what those indicators are when it's like, okay, these are what you call a clue when it's really, you know, where it is really your it's internal resistance that's blocking you from moving forward.
I think it's anytime you feel like you're struggling, anytime you don't feel good, something doesn't feel good anymore. Like you said, you might feel angry. You might feel frustrated a lot of the time. Anytime you have kind of an inner guidance system really inside you. And when you're not feeling good, when you get up in the morning and it's, you know, you're full of dread or your anxiety or frustration or whatever it is, stop, because something's off and you need to find out what that is. Anytime you don't feel good, anytime your business no longer feels good for you. I was working with a woman who was a professional photographer, and she'd been in business 16 years, and she was frustrated. She was doing everything she could think of to grow her business, to expand, you know, to bring in more income, and was frustrated time after time after time. And so we had a conversation, and as we started going through things, I took her back to, why did you start photography in the first place? And she discovered that what she loved about it was the processing part, with the taking pictures and the processing the film and all of that creative part of it. Well, now she was completely into digital photography. It was no longer a fit with why she had started the business in the first place. So it's finding things like that, because there are things that happen to us that we're unaware that those are the things that are holding us back. I had another client who, she was brilliant. She left a corporate career, started her own business, and should have been doing really, really well. It was a struggle time after time. She kept saying, I don't understand it. I'm doing all the right things. I know I should be doing these things, and it's not working. But what she had going on were a whole series of family things where she was seen as the fix-it person for her family. So whenever there was chaos in the family, they all came to her, not only to fix it, but she had to drop everything of hers to go and sort that out. And then she's wondering, well, why isn't my business doing well? Because, you know, you're constantly being pulled away from it. But she never saw the connection to that. So you have to stop. If things are not feeling good, I think the best thing you can do is stop and then ask yourself, what is going on here? What is it I can learn from this situation? Because there's something that's happening, some that you're not aware of yet. And when you are aware of it, then you can do something about it. But these things go on all the time. So I would just say, anytime you don't feel good, things keep happening that are frustrating or upsetting you in any way, something is off. Stop, pay attention, learn what it is.
Allow yourself that pause.
Yes.
Right? So, well, this was very helpful. And I think if anything, whoever is listening right now, and I don't want this to be I don't want this to be taken out of context, but what Linda and I are talking about over this past half hour or so, these are all such clear indicators as far as the value of having a coach and a mentor, or somebody who can help you identify these things that are so oftentimes really as a result of self-sabotage or self-limitations, because we just simply can't have that detached view. And there's a lot of reasons as to why that happens, but usually maybe people feel that they don't deserve it, or that maybe people don't understand. But I think Linda's perfect example, hopefully I am too, to recognize that we do get it, right? And there is value, tremendous value, when you entrust someone to help you along the journey. So with that being said, Linda, as we wrap up, is there anything that you would like to share with the audience, you know, kind of as a parting message, or anything special offer, anything that you feel that would help people, you know, be able to connect with you if they so choose?
Absolutely. So, you know, since I've talked a lot about energy, and that's something many people don't really understand very well, if you go to my website, there is a free masterclass that you can sign up for. It's called Practical Energy Masterclass. Mm-hmm. You can sign up for that, and that will explain to you some of the aspects of energy that I'm talking about, how these things impact us without us necessarily being aware of them. If you can make self-awareness your number one priority, it will make your life and business so much easier and more enjoyable. So the more you can learn about yourself, the better.
So guys, you can find Linda at lindabinns.com, LINDABINNS. And you could look at the Practical Energy Masterclass for free that she gives away. And then obviously there's an opportunity for you to also connect with Linda, mm-hmm. if you so choose to move forward, that go in through her coaching process. So Linda, thank you so much. I really do appreciate you taking the time to share your wisdom and insight with me and the folks who are listening. And, you know, I wish you all the best, and I hopefully continued collaboration of some sort down the road. It's always great to listen to people who have built up such a strong element of wisdom over a long career. So thank you.
Thank you, Mike. And thank you for all the wonderful work that you're doing and bringing this
message. I appreciate that very much. Thank you. All right, guys. Till the next time, Mike Caluzzi here, Pro Tips to Grow Your Biz. And we really appreciate you tuning in, and we'll catch you next time. Ciao.
Bye.